Chapter 5, Attachment and Non-Monogamy. Attachment research and resources regarding CNM. It is safe to say that the field of attachment theory is highly mononormative. The overwhelming majority of research conducted to understand adult romantic attachment is undertaken with monogamous couples, and advice on how to establish a secure attachment either assumes monogamy or outright prescribes monogamy as a necessary precondition for establishing safety and security. Moores, Conley, Edelston, and Chopic state that attachment theory presumes that healthy, satisfying relationships are by definition dyadic. Authors on attachment theory will assert that being pair-bonded is the prototype for attachment in adulthood, that couples need to create a couple bubble around them in order to ensure security, and that your partner needs to be the one, single, or main person that you emotionally depend on. I question if these criteria are even healthy from a monogamous standpoint, since a considerable amount of the mono-romantic ideal can actually be codependency in disguise. But at the very least, we can see how these ideas and assumptions within the field of attachment are excluding people in CNM relationships. What attachment researchers say about the relationship between sex and attachment creates another mononormative problem for people in CNM relationships. Attachment literature unquestionably has important insights about how the different attachment styles experience and relate to sex. Differences in motivation and experiences are to be expected, and not inherently a problem, but some behaviors such as casual sex, one-night stands, sex outside of a marriage, multiple sexual partners, partaking in bondage, voyeurism, exhibitionism, and even sexting are all associated with insecure attachment. The problem gets even bigger when people then take these research findings a step further and conclude that since these sexual behaviors are the types of behaviors that non-monogamous people participate in, then non-monogamy must in and of itself be an expression of insecure attachment. Just to be clear, I am not saying this. And as you will see below, the current research on CNM relationships does not support this. But many of my clients have unfortunately heard previous therapists equate being CNM with attachment insecurity and pathologize them for their lifestyle and sexuality. In such cases, it is important to distinguish between the intentions behind specific sexual behaviors instead of just looking at the sex act itself. If someone is pursuing multiple partners to avoid intimacy, or using sex in an attempt to secure intimacy when they feel insecure, then in those cases, such behaviors can be seen as an expression of insecure attachment. But many people engage in these very same behaviors from a secure place, where they are able to have multiple sex partners, one-night stands, or BDSM play in intentional, highly attuned, connected, and meaningful ways. When we start to dig into the current research on CNM and attachment, we find that the research is extremely limited. As I write this book in 2020, there are less than a handful of studies that examine the relationship between attachment and CNM. From a research perspective, this is insufficient. The good news is that what little research has been done thus far demonstrates that people in CNM relationships are just as likely to be securely attached as people in non-monogamous relationships. In a survey conducted with over 1,300 people, Moores and her colleagues examined whether there were any differences in attachment styles for people who were either in monogamous, swinging, or polyamorous relationships. They found that there was no difference in attachment anxiety levels between people who were monogamous versus those that were CNM. and that people in CNM relationships were actually lower in attachment avoidance than people in monogamous relationships. This research suggests that people in consensually non-monogamous relationships exhibit characteristics of secure attachment, maybe even more so than people in monogamous relationships. A smaller study of 179 gay men similarly found no difference in attachment styles between the participants who were in monogamous relationships and those in non-monogamous relationships. A 2014 doctoral dissertation investigated whether there was any difference in the attachment styles of people who identified as polyamorous compared to people who identified as monogamous, and found that there was no statistically significant difference in attachment-related anxiety or avoidance between the two groups. In a 2019 study, Moores, Ryan, and Chopik examined the attachment styles of over 350 polyamorous people who were currently in at least two different relationships. They found that people practicing polyamory exhibited secure attachment styles with both of their partners, and interestingly, having more of an insecure style with one specific partner did not affect the attachment functioning of their other relationships. So similar to how a child can be securely attached to one parent while simultaneously insecurely attached to another parent, polyamorous adults can have different attachment styles with different romantic partners that are independent of each other. While the current research on CNM and attachment is encouraging, the shortage of studies to reference creates a massive gap in the current attachment literature, as well as many unanswered questions about the relationship between attachment and CNM. When it comes to advice on how to cultivate secure attachment in non-monogamous relationships, the literature is practically non-existent. Some non-monogamous bloggers and podcasters have used their platforms to educate audiences about the different attachment styles as something beneficial to be aware of in non-monogamous relationships, but the conversation usually ends there. The only literature I could find on anything related to how to create a secure attachment in CNM relationships is an online article by Clinton Power titled, How Secure Functioning Can Help Polyamorous Couples. The article is geared towards therapists working with polyamorous couples, and it explains how to work with these couples based on Stan Tatkin's psychobiological approach to couple therapy, PACT. The PACT method is well-researched and has been designed to help adult romantic relationships securely function. In the article, Power uses a case example of a married heterosexual couple in an open marriage. The wife is struggling because the husband is experiencing an increase in feelings and intensity with a secondary partner. Power proposes that the couple is struggling because they are breaking several of the secure functioning PACT principles, which advise us that CNM couples should put your primary relationship first before all other relationships. Have clear relationship boundaries that support the health of the primary relationship. Go to your primary partner first with important news or life events. Manage thirds. In this case, the thirds means the third person, right? Which means the secondary partner. But so manage thirds to protect the primacy of the main relationship. Never threaten the security of the primary relationship. And resolve conflicts by finding solutions that work for both partners. When I present the suggestions from this article to an audience at a CNM conference, the room usually starts to rumble with disapproving laughs and grunts and even boos. Before offering my own opinion, I asked the audience to tell me what they think about these suggestions. The first critique that people usually offer is that this article promotes a very hierarchical version of polyamory that puts the couple in a position of power over the secondary partner, who would have no rights or say in the boundaries that were set or the solutions that were created, even though they directly impact her and the relationship she is in. People in the audience are often also irritated by how this article only speaks of one version of CNM, which might work for some people practicing hierarchical polyamory or open marriage, but that it completely overlooks people who are solo poly, non-hierarchical poly, or relationship anarchist. When the audience contains experienced therapists or coaches who work with non-monogamous couples, they will also often add that part of the issue here is that this couple is functioning from two different forms of non-monogamy: the wife wanting more of an open marriage style of non-monogamy, and the husband being more polyamorous in his approach, and that the article is encouraging them to take on her style over his without deeper discussion. In addition to the feedback that the audience has to offer, my critique of this article is that it is relying too much on the structure of the relationship to ensure and safeguard secure attachment instead of the quality of relating between partners to forge secure attachment. When we rely on the structure of our relationship, whether that is through being monogamous with someone or practicing hierarchical forms of CNM, we run the risk of forgetting that secure attachment is an embodied expression built upon how we consistently respond and attune to each other, not something that gets created through structure and hierarchy. Secure attachment is created through the quality of experience we have with our partners, not through the notion or the fact of either being married or being a primary partner. The narratives people have about love, marriage, primary partnership, and how to achieve relationship security are powerful. So much so that just the idea of being in love, being married, or being a primary partner can lead us to think we are experiencing attachment security when in reality we may not be. We often assume that having more structural ties in a relationship means more security. In some cases it does. But as the high rates of divorce and cheating demonstrate, even a monogamous marriage that is typically represented as the pinnacle of relationship security is not necessarily any more secure than other forms of relationship. People can commit to being married for life, but still feel universes away from the person they share a bed with. Two people can consider each other primary partners, but still experience relational neglect, even though they might technically be able to wield veto power over other partners or have first choice on how holidays are spent. Relationship structure does not guarantee emotional security. I've witnessed many couples who have measured their sense of personal and relationship security based on the fact of having shared finances, being legally married, running a business together, co-owning a home, or how many carats the engagement ring has. These more structural demonstrations of security can be signs of genuine commitment, and they undoubtedly make it more difficult for someone to just pick up and leave one day. But they do not ensure the high quality attunement, presence, and responsiveness that foster secure attachment at the interpersonal level. Here are some signs that might indicate that you are relying more on the structure of your relationship for your attachment and security than the emotional experience of your relationship. You theoretically know your partner loves you and is ultimately committed to you, your marriage, and/or your family, but you don't feel personally valued, seen, or cherished. You share many forms of structural commitment with your partner, but don't have emotional or sexual intimacy, and one or both of you is not okay with that. When you ask your spouse or partner for more of their time or affection, they get defensive and point out all of the professional, financial, or domestic things that they do to show their commitment. You often feel alone in your relationship, even though you live together or are around each other a lot. You or your partner defer to gender stereotypes to make the absence of certain forms of emotional or sexual connection more tolerable, such as, that's just how men are, or, well, you know how women can be. In your relationship, the ideal of the marriage or the greater purpose of the family have become more important than the direct experience of how you actually treat each other. You're married or in primary relationship, but feel like you're always getting the short end of the stick when it comes to your spouse or partner's time, affection, and attention. You know your partner is committed to you, but you don't know if they actually like and enjoy being with you. If you experience any of these things, I suggest working with your partner or partners to strengthen the emotional experience of your secure attachment, which is covered in part 3. As I address in the next chapter, I've seen the dangers of people depending on the structure of their relationship to feel safe together. When they change that structure, either through opening up from monogamy or transitioning to a less hierarchical form of consensual non-monogamy, it can expose relational insecurities that were disguised by the pseudo or contrived security acquired from the previous relationship structure. The takeaway message here is not to abolish all relationship hierarchies or shared bank accounts, but instead for people to procure secure attachment from their relational experiences instead of their relationship structures. Allow your direct experience with a partner to be the vehicle to secure attachment instead of having certain relationship concepts, narratives, or structures be the vehicle. When our experience with a partner is the route to secure attachment, we might still want certain relationship structures, benchmarks, or milestone experiences, but the urgency at which we define, solidify, or need to nail things down can relax and occur more organically. Current research and resources about attachment and consensual non-monogamy are scarce and at an embryonic stage. I am hopeful that more research and resources will continue to crop up as awareness and acceptance of non-monogamy continues to grow. But for many people, it will not be soon enough. Part 3 is designed to walk you through the different components of secure functioning, not based on your relationship structure, but based on the behaviors that you can apply to any of your CNM relationships in which you seek to deepen poly security.